Of a Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, and I want to thank all of y'all for joining us on this morning. And again, we have been in such a dynamic, such a wonderful, such a life-impacting series here called The Power of Discipline. The Power of Discipline. What do we mean by discipline? What are we saying? Are we saying correcting? Are we saying punishing? No, we're talking about the practical things in life to help us to stay focused. Those things that keep us from being distracted, those things that allow us to be the people that God needs us to be starters and finishers. And we're going to get into that here in just a little bit. But just to be able to see how this series is being so impacting, so life-changing to so many of us, I thank God for just being chosen for such a time as this to be able to pour into his people. To pour into his people, to give them the wonderful words, to give us the words that we need to help us to be effective, not in 2019, not in 1995, not in back in the day, but right now, today in 2021. So I just want to thank all of y'all for joining us on this morning. I just want to say something on this morning before we dive into the root of this message. I just want to share about the line of business that I myself, that I'm in here. And it's all about service. One of the things that I want us to understand, especially as we hear about the economy and the worker shortage, and so many companies are now hiring, and you see now hiring signs up like never before. What I want us to learn to understand, those that are getting up and going to work every day, that are taking the, say, the fast food jobs and the different jobs that you see out there, doing things that the average person may not want to do. Okay, there's a lot of jobs out here. There's a lot of industries out here where people are doing, quote unquote, the dirty work, doing the things that the average person wouldn't do, wouldn't have the stomach to do. Let's make sure we go back to remember back when the pandemic first started. And we were so talking about the essential workers. We were so ecstatic about the truck drivers and different ones, right? And anybody that was tough enough to get up and go to work during the start of this pandemic, all of our grocery workers and stockers and all of that. Let's make sure we continue to show gratitude. If you have to wait in a fast food line longer than normal, be thankful for that person that got up and took that job, that's able to prepare your Whopper with cheese. Okay, or to give you your Big Mac or whatever it is that you're waiting for, you know, your taco, your Crunchwrap, whatever that is, be thankful for those people. Be thankful for those that are out there. And I started off by talking about being, remember we talked about genuine gratitude, having genuine gratitude for different people that are working in different industries to help keep our economy going. That's what this is all about. And what I want us to understand is that, and then for you that are on your jobs, serve to the best of your abilities. If you're a teacher, do teaching with excellence. Okay? Whatever it is that you are, if you're a business owner, if you do IT, computer graphics, whatever industry that you're in, serve your customers. Serve the people that you work for. Be the server that God needs for you to be, because we need good, sound, dedicated, and committed people to help keep our economy going. So let's don't take those for granted. Let's not, when we go to restaurants, let's don't treat the waiters and waitresses bad, because you never know what they're going to, what they're going through. Working $2.50, $3 per hour, and depending on tips, maybe somebody has children or something like that. Let's make sure we show genuine gratitude for everyone working in every industry. That's just my plea to us, okay? All right, so again, I just wanted to put that out there just to say, listen, people are working hard. And they're working hard and they're shorthanded and they're experiencing things. We've got supply chain issues all over the place. So I just want to say, if there is somebody that's out there and maybe they're not giving you your food as fast as you used to, be patient. Have genuine gratitude and be thankful for those that are helping keep our economy, keeping our world going as it should. Okay. All right. Just wanted to put that out there. That has nothing related to our process of discipline, which is what we're going to talk about. But I just wanted to start off by just saying, let's make sure we express genuine gratitude, especially for those that are getting up and making it happen every single day so that we can have the products and the services that we desire to have. All right, again, I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn of this wonderful church, this wonderful ministry, this lightning in a bottle of a ministry called Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, where we want to cultivate the believer in you. And we want to welcome you to continue to come grow in the soil with us. Without further ado, as we've been talking about in our series here, the power of discipline, we spoke last week. Okay, we're going to do a little refresher. We spoke last week about the process of discipline. And we dove into that even more so where we specifically talked about self-discipline. We're not talking about disciplining others or parents disciplining our children or anything along those lines. What we're talking about is us. This is part of us building our character. This is part of us building ourselves to where God can use us in a way that God needs us to be used. Okay? This is for God to be able to take us from faith to faith, glory to glory. Okay, he's building us. We started out by laying the foundation we had a few weeks ago. Okay, we talked about laying the foundation. Then we talked about, hey, we're going to start building the walls. This is part of God building us to be the people that he needs us to be. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are the church. And God right now is wanting a rebuilding of his people. The thing that we need more than anything else to help us to welcome into that next level of our lives is we need discipline. We have to reimagine. We have to rewire. We have to rethink some of the things that we've thought and restructure our lives to better position us to be effective as we build God's kingdom. Okay, I'm going to put our first slide up this morning as we're doing a little refresher from last week's. This is part one of the process of discipline. This is a slide from that message from last week. And as you see on the screen right now, self-discipline, we're talking about us. We're looking at the man or the woman in the mirror. We are being accountable for us, who we are, before we can fix somebody else and maybe their own issues or things that we see. We want to take the plank out of our eye, out of our own eye, as Jesus said. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. We're going to do a deep dive about us so that we can be who God needs for us to be. And as you see that first slide here, as we're getting ready to read that first slide here. Self-discipline, talking about us. Self-discipline, ladies and gentlemen, is the ability to push yourself forward, stay motivated, and take action regardless of how you're feeling, physically or emotionally. Regardless to how you're feeling physically or emotionally. This means that self-discipline, it has to out-strengthen your feelings. How about that? Self-discipline, ladies and gentlemen, it has to out-strengthen your feelings. So regardless to how you feel, because we know that feelings can have a strong influence on the things that we do, the things that we set out to achieve, the things that we set out to want to accomplish, self-discipline can have an effect on that. Feelings can have an effect on our level of self-discipline. So when it comes to the influence of our level of accomplishing that goal, accomplishing that task, accomplishing what it is that we want to set out and set forth, self-discipline will help us navigate to stay to the plan. It will help us to stay the course, and it will help us to stay committed to the entire process. It has to outwill our feelings. It has to put our feelings, here's a word, in check. Maybe we don't feel like something. Maybe we think it's outside the box, or maybe we're not comfortable with it. Self-discipline will help you navigate through those feelings. How many times did we start things, but for whatever reason, Zoom, we didn't complete them? We talk radio. We were going to start them, but we didn't complete them. How often have we allowed excuses to become our scapegoat? Oh, I don't have enough. Maybe it's not good enough for me. Maybe they're not going to accept me. Maybe I'm not qualified. I don't have all the knowledge and all the information. Get rid of the excuses and replace them with self-discipline. Maybe we don't feel like it. Or there seems to be more important things that we would rather be doing. Or what about looking at others and allowing the grass to seem greener on the other side? And then that begins to distract us from achieving our goals. What can steer us away from wanting to be focused on setting those goals and moving into the next level in our lives? How do you think when you give up and throw in the towel and say, I no longer want to achieve this, or I'm going to move on to something else, and I just become a great starter? I just continue to start. I continue to move on to the next thing, but I don't have a mindset to be a completer. How do you think God feels about that? Have you ever thought about that? How do you think God feels about a quitting attitude? How do you think God feels about you've got everything lined up and you've got this goal and this thing that you've made up in your mind you're going to be completely committed to, and then you stray away from it? Have you ever taken the time just to think about, what does God think about that? What am I showing him? Am I showing him that I'm mature enough? Am I showing him that I'm disciplined enough? What display am I giving the Heavenly Father when I can't stay committed to a simple task? Here he is. He's giving you gifts, and he's giving you talents, and he's giving you wisdom to utilize all the tools to be effective in the kingdom. And it's almost as though they just collect spiritual dust. It's almost like saying we have an out of order sign on our gifts, an out of order sign on our talents. I've got all these tools. I've got all these, this equipment that God has given me to literally reach my dreams, reach my destiny. But there is an out of order sign because I can't stay disciplined enough to stay committed to the task. I believe it was the great Miles Monroe that once said, the cemetery is one of the richest places in the world. There you have books that would have been written, ideas that would have been manifested, messages that would have been spoken, or pastors that would have given words and so many different things, maybe ideas and ideas. And maybe there are so many cures the many diseases that are out there today that we're still battling that are right now buried in the cemetery. But the discipline wasn't there to bring it forth. The commitment wasn't there to be able to help bring it into fruition. What I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is we don't have to keep making the cemetery rich. We can rob, and hear me when I say this practically, I am speaking spiritually. We can rob the cemetery of gifts by implementing those things into our world today, by just making one simple change, by being disciplined in our lives. Breaking the spirit of laziness. Yeah, I'm out here now. Breaking the spirit of just staying within the boat. Or can we be the Peter of the group and step out and keep our eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith, and have a little section in the Bible where we walked on water because we went against the going grains of wanting to feel safe and feel comfortable? We allow this world's message to kind of come in and rob us of believing what God can do through us. And we look at what the world is saying and how other people are living, and now we see the grass is greener on the other side. How did they get there? What did they do to earn that? When you are discrediting the God that you serve. What I want us to understand with this message is, I lay the foundation as we get ready to get into the meat and the potatoes of this message. What I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the biggest obstacles that we face here as people is that we're just simply not as disciplined as we should be. We struggle with being committed to the task. If it's not instant gratification, we want nothing to do with it. We don't understand the importance of having delayed gratification, doing all the work, taking the time, going through the process, and allowing things to be able to grow. But God always, ladies and gentlemen, has a ram in the bush. God always has a voice for a generation. And what I want us to say as we get ready to know and understand what we're getting ready to talk about on today, God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we know that our God that we serve, he is a starter and a finisher. And we also know that he gives us the power to do anything that we set out to achieve. And he tells us, as you see our next slide up, I'm going to put the thematic scripture of our year on this year. I want you to write this down, take a picture of it. Listen, whatever you have to do, because in Ephesians 3:20, as you see it on the screen, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us. And as we stated in our last message, it is God's desire for us to understand that we do have the power within to be completers. But there's something that we must learn in order to be completers, not just starters, but to be completers. And as we started last week, the process of discipline, we're going to be completers of this little mini two-part series of that message today. And for today's message, what we're going to do, I whet your appetite last week. I kind of teased your appetite last week with step number one. Today, we're going to complete this process. And it is called part two of the process of discipline. Part two of the process of discipline. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word. Thank you for the lives that are being changed on today. Thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord, growing us, molding us, and shaping us, Lord, to be the people that you need for us to be in this day and in this time. You need us, Lord, for such a time like this, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you help us to grow in our discipline, to be focused, and to know that you've given us the tools and everything that we need to move forward in our lives and to be all that we need to be. So Lord, speak to us on today. Allow your word to have its wonderful way. Help us to have ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a mind to stay focused to hear what you have for us to hear on today. Speak to our hearts and our minds. Renew our minds, renew our strength. Give us a soft heart that's going to receive your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, I want to thank all of y'all that are joining us on all the platforms that we're on Shine Radio from We Talk Radio's station on today. I want to thank y'all on YouTube. I want to thank y'all on Facebook Live. I want to thank y'all that are in the Zoom room on today as we dive into part two of the process of discipline. So as we stated, it is God's desire for us to be completers. And what I want us to understand here, as we get ready to put a slide up here, I want to put our scriptures up on a slide this morning. We're going into Hebrews. If you have your Bibles, your e-Bibles, your old school paper Bibles, and if you don't, we've got the scripture up here that we're going to put up here for you so you can follow along with us here. And again, We Talk Radio, I encourage you to join us on YouTube, join us on Facebook so you can get the full benefits of our messages here. Hebrews 12:1, I am coming from the New International Version of the Bible. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. What I want us to focus on, ladies and gentlemen, out of that text, what I want us to focus on, we're going to be a little different with it this week here. I want us to focus on producing of the harvest of righteousness. Because what the text is telling us is that discipline produces a harvest of righteousness. We're going to put our next slide up here on this morning here because I want us to understand something on this morning. Discipline will produce a harvest. It's right there in Hebrews 12:11. Discipline will produce a harvest. And I want to go to our next slide here to support this particular statement here. There is an element of production that is a byproduct of discipline. There is an element of production that is a byproduct of discipline. I want that to saturate into your heart and into your mind an element of production, which is a byproduct of discipline. When you think discipline, I want you to think production. I want you to think of discipline being an element of production. Be fruitful and multiply is what God told his people to be. And in order to be fruitful and to multiply, you have to produce. This is where we get produce from. Remember, we talked about that about a year ago. Produce in the grocery store section. It starts with a seed. The seed has to grow, get cultivated through the soil. Then it begins to grow. And that's what we call produce. It produced. If that farmer was not disciplined, you would not have the production. Therefore, you would not have produce. Okay? What I want us to understand is that may be one of the strongest statements in this entire series, that there is an element of production that is a byproduct of discipline. As we're approaching harvest season, this text is very fitting as we dive into sowing and reaping. Because what I want us to understand here, to connect the biblical text along with this point, here's the next slide that we're going to put up on this morning. The process of discipline is the sowing, and the peace and righteousness is the reaping. We're going to leave that up for a little bit. I want you to see that slide, and I want you to let that speak to you. The process of discipline, that's the sowing. As you're going through, and we're going to talk about more, we're going to go more in depth in the process of discipline. That is the sowing. And the peace and righteousness, that's the reaping. And we'll be talking about the benefits of discipline as we move forward into this dynamic series. Okay? Because last year, remember, as I said here, we talked about the parable of the soils. And last year, we had a focus particularly on the soil. Stony ground, subpar ground, and then there was good ground. And as we talked about that, as we were talking about the parable of the soils, Jesus used that parable to be able to talk about, okay, the word is going forth. The lessons are being taught, but how is it being received? Because if the word falls on stony ground, the birds can come and just take it right off of the rocks and eat that seed. And therefore, there's nothing that's going to cultivate in the soil. If it's subpar, it may go down just a little bit, but there's a rock or there is something hard that's keeping it from being able to allow the roots to fully benefit, to grow into the fullness of the crop. Therefore, all it takes is anything small, minute, anything, and the root is not very strong. But if that word falls on good ground, nurtured ground, a ground that wants to receive, a heart that wants to hear the word of God, when we want to welcome the discipline, and we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. Oh, I'm telling you, that is a fruit that will be produced. It'll be produced on good ground, and it'll be something that you've never seen before. But it's up to us on how we want to receive the word of God. It's up to us on what we do with that and how we nurture that and how we cultivate that. That's why we say we want to welcome you to grow in the soil. And we want to cultivate that believer in you. That particular parable gave us, as God began to speak with me as we were growing into this ministry here. Okay, God is who? God is love. And love is a spirit. God is a spirit. What needs to happen in this day and time is love needs to be inspired. So therefore, we have the name of our church, Spirit, because love is a spirit. Of inspiring, we want to inspire God's love, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And as we grew into this particular parable by Jesus, the acronym came into life, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, soil. Come grow with us in the soil. Now, I myself could not have come up with that. That was all Holy Spirit led. But this is what we're doing as we're growing into this. And so as we talk about the discipline is the sowing and the peace is the righteousness, that is the reaping. So relating to, and where are we going with this here? I'm going to connect this dot here as we're talking about this. So relating to the process of self-discipline, here are some things that I want us to understand. It doesn't feel good when we're being trained and we're being disciplined and we're being corrected and we're having to get out of our comfortable ways and step into ways that are not so comfortable, because in order for something to go from here to here, there is a process in between to take it to where it needs to be. If you stay right here, as we started off in this series saying, if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to what? Keep getting what you've been getting. In order to change from over here, there is a process of being uncomfortable, coming out of your comfort zone, moving over to here. That's what the process, ladies and gentlemen, of discipline is all about. That's it in a nutshell. But there's a whole lot that we're going to uncover as we're moving into this direction to help make it plain, make it clear, so that we can understand what it is that we need to do. So it doesn't feel good, but here's the deal. Even though it didn't feel good, it's what? It's producing. I'm uncomfortable, but guess what? It's for your good. So if you could just withstand the process of discipline, you will receive a harvest. If you can withstand the process of discipline, you will receive the harvest. Now, from a practical standpoint, a lot of us grew up listening to a lot of great music. And I remember growing up and New Edition had a song, right? Remember that group New Edition, right? They had a song, Can You Stand the Rain? And what they were saying is, in this relationship, okay, it's not going to always be peaches and cream. It's not going to always be easy, but can you just stand the rain? Can you just withstand the rain? But when the rain falls on you, are you going to split? Are you going to move on? What's going to happen? And I want to relate that to the process of discipline. Can you withstand the process of being disciplined so you can go from here to coming over here? Okay. Now, don't start playing that song, Can You Stand the Rain, in your mind. Get all that out your mind. Just wanted to use that as an example. Don't go, oh, let me get through my old CDs and my old. No. Let's come on back. Let's come on back now. But I just wanted to make that a point, because can we withstand it? Oftentimes we give up because can we stand the heat? And we're going to talk about the heat here in just a minute. Can we stand the rain? Can we withstand the process of discipline? Now, as we're talking about the discipline, we're going to talk about the benefits here, because if you're going to withstand, obviously you want to get something out of it, right? Because God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. God is all about you having. God is all about you receiving. But can you withstand the process so that you can receive? But what I want us to know is that sometimes we want to smell that cake in the oven to know that the process of baking is well worth it. You went through all of the, you know, getting all the ingredients and separating your liquids and your granular items and your dries and all that good stuff. And you mix it up just right and you add a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But it makes it well worth it when it's in that oven and you begin to smell what's cooking in the oven. That's what we're doing. Once we understand the process, we're going to start smelling the benefits. What is God saying? What is God doing? So I want y'all to hang on and let's continue to move forward as we move into the process of discipline. So what I want us to do now, as we're talking about that, let's take a look at the ingredients that make up the process of discipline. Let's take a look at the ingredients as we dive into the process of discipline. So here's number one, we're going to put our first slide up here as far as the process within itself. We talked about this last week as we got ready to close our message last week. And again, I want to thank all of y'all that have tuned in here, diving into this message right here. And it's been such a blessing hearing from you folks, knowing that it's been such a blessing, life-changing dynamic into your life. And it just confirms that God is feeding his sheep. Our sheep are getting healthy. They're growing. We're all growing and we're doing what God needs for us to do. And there is no better feeling to know that God is using us in such a time like this. So number one, the process of developing self-discipline. We're going to talk about that. Number one is make the decision to change. We were over here and now we're deciding to make the change over here, because over here, We only got so far over here, only produced certain harvests over here, kind of kept us where we were. And now we're going to make the decision to move into this direction. And I want to read Joshua 24 and 15 here. I want to read Joshua 24 and 15 as you see that slide up here for that particular text. And it says, and if it seems evil to serve the Lord, this is Joshua, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served were on the other side of the river, talking about the Jordan River, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made the decision to change and to serve the Lord. Because it's all about self-accountability. It's all about self-accountability and making the decision to change. Here it is. And when you make that decision to change, now you position yourself to receive the harvest. What's smelling in the oven of the harvest? Number two. Here's number two as we're talking about the process of discipline as we put our next slide up. Be specific and know your goal. Be specific and know your goal. And I like what the wisdom of King Solomon telling us in Proverbs 19 and 21. As you can see it up on the screen here, it says that many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I'm going to read that again. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I just want to personally apologize to you if you thought this was all about you, all about your personal desires, all about everything about you and what you want and all that good stuff. I'm sorry to tell you, but this is about God in you. This is about the God on the inside of you. This is about the real you. When your flesh and blood perish on this earth, that real you is what's going to walk into the kingdom of God. The real you is who you really are. That's the legacy that you're leaving. That's where the lives are being changed. That's where the inspiration is happening. I am talking to the real you that is connected to God. And here's what we're going to do. What we have to understand is that when you welcome the divine in your goals, when divinity lines up with your goals, okay? When divinity, I'm going to say that again, lines up with your goals, when you allow the divine to line up with your goals, so there is a godly purpose that lines up with the plans that God has for you. This, ladies and gentlemen, is where Ephesians 3 and 20, the power that he gives us on within, right? The power that he gives us unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. It lines up with, as you see over my head on the sign here, one of my favorite scriptures of all time. That is probably one of the goats of scripture, one of the greatest scriptures of all time. Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the plans that I have for you. God is saying, I know those plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. This is where Ephesians 3 and 20 and Jeremiah 29 and 11, they come together. The Old Testament and the New Testament, boom, line up. And now we're talking about your purpose. Now we're talking about your plan that God has to do through you. This is what I want us to understand. And as we just read in Proverbs, it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. In other words, if it is going to line up with building and adding to the nurturing of God's kingdom, this is the goal and the level of plans that we want to make sure that we have in our life. That's what I want us to understand about this series. We're being disciplined to give our lives to God so that he can do what he needs to do through us, so that we can be effective for adding and building the kingdom of God. Not so that you can drive some fancy car and get all the honks and get all the likes on social media. I'm sorry to burst your bubble if that's what you think life is all about. That's not why God blesses us. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. He equips us so that we can be used. He gives us gifts to give the world to help make this world the better place that it can be. And it is up to us, again, to rob the cemetery, to bring our gifts, our talents, and set those goals to do what God needs for us to do for such a time like this, to get out of ourselves and allow the Spirit to operate through us, to get out of all these other things that allow the practical to be the epitome of our lives, and to say, Lord, what can I do for you? Remember, Lord, I'm available to you. You see how all of our messages begin to connect? You see how all of our messages begin to tie together? What is it that God needs to do through you? And we just don't have the discipline to, first of all, build our relationship with him so that he can allow us to be disciplined to do what he needs for us to do. Going back into the goals, here's the next slide that we're getting ready to put up here. When the specific goals line up with God's purpose for your life, you have clear focus on your goals and knowing God is there to support your goal. I'm going to read that again. When a specific goal lines up with God's purpose for your life, you have clear focus on knowing your goal and knowing God is there to support your goal. I'll give us an example. Say you have a goal to lose 20 pounds, 50 pounds, whatever it is. God is going to line up with that because it is in God's will for you to be in good health is what the Bible says. Remember Jeremiah 29, to prosper you, not to harm you. To be prosperous in your health and all in your well-being and all of that so that you can be used. So that you can be used in a way that God needs for you to be used. So yes, God is going to line up with that. The divine goals, that discipline, he's going to line up with that. Because now you're placing yourself in the best position to be successful physically and mentally. We're talking about health and mentally. So yes, God is going to line up with that. Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, it shall be given. If it is according to my will. He's very plain and very clear about that. Okay. If it be in my will, it is in his will for you to prosper and be in good health. It is in his will for you to be lenders and not borrowers. All of these things, the Bible tells you that you don't have to go searching all this other stuff. The Bible tells you what God's will is for your life, but you got to study to show yourself approved. You have to read and embrace the word of God so he can give you the instructions that you need in your life. So yes, when that goal is a divine goal, God is going to support that. In other words, he's going to back it and he's going to make sure that you are equipped with what you need to bring forth that goal if you allow him to do it through you. You have a role to do and you better know that God is going to do his part. God is saying, can you meet me halfway? God is saying, can you take care of the natural and allow me to take care of the spiritual? Remember, when we give faith something to do, faith has got its part that it's going to take care of. And then you got your part that you take care of. That's why faith without works is dead. Faith and works. Faith has got the spiritual. God has got the spiritual. And our job is to take care of the natural. This is why we're talking about the process of discipline. Amen. Amen. I'm going to put up here our next point here. Because number three in the process of self-discipline is we welcome the obstacles and challenges. We have to welcome the obstacles and challenges. Now, I'm going to make a point here that may kind of disappoint some people, but I think all of us know this by now. And if you don't, this is why we give these messages. This is why you have a pastor. This is why you have a church, so that we can make it plain to you and help you understand what the word of God is saying. But here's what the Bible is not saying. There is no text in the Bible that states anywhere that bringing forth the plans that God has for you will be easy. Bringing forth the plans that God has for you will be easy. The Bible does not tell you that it's all going to be easy. Somebody may have misinformed you by thinking that once you became saved and gave your life to God, that it was all going to be a cakewalk, taste like peaches and cream. That's not what this is all about. And the reason why the first storm that comes in our lives, we're ready to give up. We're ready to give in. We're ready to walk away from the challenge. And we're ready to go back to being comfortable and all of that stuff, because we think everything is supposed to always be ice cream and cookies. Bluebell flavor at that. I'm here to tell you something. We got to have some broccoli in our lives. Okay? It ain't going to always be German chocolate cake. We got to have some broccoli. It's not going to always be peaches and cream. There will be some storms. Jesus said, in this world, we will have trials and tribulations, but we can rest assured because he has overcome the world. That's what he said in his word. But the problem is, we sometimes hear it and it goes right out the other ear. And then when a storm comes, we feel like the world is over. Ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to accept and embrace the process of discipline, we have to know and we have to understand there will be obstacles. There will be challenges. So what we have to do is we have to welcome obstacles and we have to welcome challenges. What I want us to understand, regardless to how you're feeling, you must stay disciplined. We have to go ahead and just accept the fact and know that we're going to have to fight to be disciplined. It's a battle to stay disciplined. Your natural and your spiritual are always in conflict. Here's comfortable, here's uncomfortable. Here's staying in the boat, and here's stepping outside the boat. And there's always this challenge. There's always this challenge that's going on. But I want us to understand something here. We got to welcome it. We have to welcome that there's going to be challenges. We have to welcome that things are going to get tough. We have to welcome that, and we have to accept it. And just like Paul tells us, as you see our next slide up here in 1 Timothy 6:12, I'm coming from the Amplified Version's translation here. And what he's saying here is what Paul is telling us in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. This is what Paul, wants us to understand. Fight the good fight of faith. I want you to just let that sink in. Let that focus in. Fight the good fight of faith. Think about that. Take hold of the eternal which you were called about, from which you made the good confession of the presence of many witnesses. Fight. The good fight, not bad fight. The good fight of faith. I'm going to say something here that maybe a lot of us didn't realize, but don't you know that faith is always in a fight? You know that? Faith has to literally fight the natural that we live in to try to impose its will on whatever is real to us in our lives. Faith is always fighting. It's fighting on our behalf, and guess what? Sometimes it has to fight us because we don't want to operate in it sometimes. But when you fight the good fight of faith, now you line up with faith, and faith is over here, and you're next to faith, and now y'all tag teaming, fighting all of the natural things that say that you can't. Okay, the standard substances instead of the substance of all substance. Okay, the things that you hope for, and it's the evidence of the things that are not seen. So what you see, don't you know faith is fighting what you don't see to allow your spirit to see what you don't see in the natural? It's always fighting. It's always fighting. Faith is always in a fight. So in other words, you know what you see in the natural. But as you give faith something to do, faith is fighting to get you to see what you don't see. I think I need to go on to Giblify right now and give my own self a little love token for that right there. Because that right there is just, I don't know about you, but that is potent. That is a lot of potency right there, y'all. Faith is fighting to get you to see what you don't see. Matter of fact, somebody put that in the chat on Zoom. Put it in the chat. Somebody needs to, if nothing else, somebody needs to see that. Faith is fighting to get you to see what you don't see. Faith is fighting to get you to see what you don't see. That's a good thing. And as we put our next slide up here, as we're moving along in our message, here's the deal. You have to be disciplined to know that the harvest you are smelling in the oven will soon be ready for you to receive. Zoom, I want y'all to hear that again. You have to be disciplined to know that the harvest you are smelling in the oven will soon be ready for you to receive. Can you smell what the faith is cooking? Can you smell what discipline is cooking in the oven? Can you smell it before you actually see it? Can you know that it's there before you actually taste it? Is this work in discipline? What am I getting out of this? Oh, trust me, we're going to talk about the benefits of discipline probably next week or the week after that, but you don't know that everything that you're going through and living a life of discipline, there are some rewards. God is ready to take you to another level. I smell it, but do I get too distracted and too off course to allow myself to taste it when it's ready? That's what we're fighting, y'all. And that's an everyday battle. And faith is fighting on your behalf to get you to stay the course and to keep smelling what it's cooking, to keep smelling what discipline is baking. But I want us to know something here. Here's what we're going to do. As we put our next slide up here, as we move on here, we have to humble ourselves and allow God to help us get back on track so that we stay disciplined. We don't veer to the right. We don't veer to the left. We be strong and only courageous, as God told Joshua, so that we can move forward into the prosperity that he has for us. That's what God wants us to know on today. Ain't that a blessing? That's what God wants us to know on today. We just stay the course, humble ourselves, and stay focused and allow God to help us get back on track. That's okay. We're going to fall short. We're going to make mistakes. We all know that. But the discipline is what's going to allow you to get yourself back on track, to dust off, to not allow guilt and condemnation to rob you of where God wants for you to be. Yes, you made a mistake. God says, give it to me and let's keep on moving. Yes, you made that. You did it. You're struggling. I get all of that. God says, give it to me. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. God says, give it to me and keep on moving forward. Don't allow those things, especially those shortcomings, to make you stray away and to make you stop being disciplined. Okay, so that's what I want us to understand. And as I get ready to wrap up that point here, distractions are never too hard for God. They are never too hard for God. And I just want us to understand, if we give them to him, say, Lord, I'm humbling myself. Help me to stay focused. Help me to stay focused. Help me. I know I may make some mistakes, but Lord, give me the strength to get back on track. Give me the strength to get back disciplined. Give me everything that I need to stay the course in this day and in this time. Boy, I sure hope this word is blessing somebody on today. If this word is blessing you, put it in the chat. Let somebody know that this word is blessing you. And on Facebook, I want y'all to like this page, share it, allow God to use you. Now you be the preacher. You allow this channel now to allow somebody that's connected to you on your page to be blessed by this word. And if you being blessed by this word, you have a job and a responsibility to invite others to receive what you're feeding, and to share it, to tell, to invite, to do that. Now you go out and you do the work that God needs for you to do. Amen. I appreciate all of y'all for doing that. But allow God to use you. Be a vessel. Don't just receive it and go on. Be used. If you want to go to the next level, be used. Be in position. Like it. Share it. Get the word out. Tell people about it. If it's changing you, you better rest assured it's going to change somebody else. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Praise his name. All right. Now we're going to move on to point number four here. I'm loving this. I'm loving this on today. Point number four. Here we go here. We're moving along here. Replace old ways and old habits. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Replace old ways and old habits. Here's a scripture here that I love. And we all talk about this so many times. And I just want to, as we're talking about the process of developing self-discipline, let's talk about what Jesus said about this, right? Let's hear from the greatest teacher of all times, a teacher that is always teaching. Okay, remember the gift of love, right? Remember who we talked about Jesus was? He's the gift that keeps on giving, and he's the greatest gift that ever be given to all of us. That guy, Jesus, the Alpha, the Omega, the one that died for us. Let's hear what he has to say to us. And Mark 2:22, I am coming from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Let's read this together here. If you see this scripture on the screen, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. And we're talking about fermented water, not Bartles and James or your whatever, all this old other stuff here. We ain't talking about that, y'all. We're talking about fresh water that was non-contaminated when we're talking about wine. Okay, let's don't get it twisted. Let's don't try to make the word benefit so we can get away with doing some things. No, we're talking about fresh fermented water, which is what they had. It was expensive. That's why they use it. That's why Jesus turned water into wine, so that they wouldn't be drinking contaminated water that camels and everything else went and feasted from. Okay, the grapes were used as a beverage for high profile gatherings and things of that nature. And it was an expensive process during that time. Okay. So when we talk about wine, I don't want everybody to think, oh yeah, I got to go on to this spirits place on down the street. And yeah, that ain't what this is. This is why we have to study to show ourselves approved and know what the word of God is saying. I don't play that when it comes to the word. We don't twist the word to allow it to benefit for us. Well, Jesus turned water into wine. So now listen here, folks, we ain't gonna play games. This is serious. And when he's talking about wine, he is talking about fresh fermented water. Somebody would probably listen to this message right now saying, I thought we were talking about discipline. Why he on all about wine? Because we need to know it all. Okay, my job is to teach the full gospel, not some of it, the full gospel, every bit of it. And I'm going to make sure that when you leave from listening to this word, you're going to know every bit of what the word of God is saying. So I just want to clarify wine, because when we see that word wine, sometimes some of us, we go on back. Come on back here. Come on back here, okay? All right, so let's put the scripture back up again. I just wanted to make sure we talked about that here, because this is what Jesus is saying here in this scripture, okay? In Mark 2:22, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. Double for the trouble, right? New wine calls for new wineskins. New wine calls for new wineskins. The new discipline you calls for new discipline ways. That's why I say we don't play games with this. The new discipline you calls for new discipline ways. You can't bring your old habits into the new format of your life and expect the new format to continue to hold up and be what it is. Okay? There is a process involved from you being who you currently are, stepping into who you could be through God. Once you identify the newness of who you are, you have to let old things pass away, and behold, the newness of you is what has to be operated. This is one of the biggest things that keep us from being disciplined. Because hear this word, we don't cut off old relationships that drag us back into being the old us. We're too afraid to do that. What are they going to say about us? Well, but this person was okay. If that person was there for you during a season, that season is now older. We're talking about the new you. There are old habits, old things that you used to do, ways that you used to live, that you have to let go of and allow the newness to be placed in the new wineskin of your life. What a word that is for somebody right there. The new wineskin deserves the new you. Wow, put that in the chat. Holy Spirit is on point this morning. The new you deserves the new wineskin. The new wineskin deserves the new you. Don't go back to that old stuff. You got to change. And this is why we're talking about the process of discipline. You got to change the way you're doing some things. You got to change some habits. Maybe it means get up earlier. Maybe it means I got to restructure my life. Do what you have to do to allow that new wineskin to be supported by the new wine, the new you, the new you. Okay? Think about that. The new you, not the old you, the disciplined you, the disciplined you. Okay? That's what I want us to understand here, because the discipline here is, it's like, and I can give you an example here. Let me bring this on home, and let me, as Joe Madison would say, let me put this where the goats would get it, right? Let me make this more plain and practical. I'll talk about myself. One of the biggest challenges I had stepping into entrepreneurship a few years ago was changing my mindset from being a W-2 employee to being a business owner. I could not approach my company with a W-2 employee mindset, working a W-2 lifestyle, doing those things that I did when I was a W-2 employee, when I have literally started a company, and that company, which is represented by the new wineskin, deserved the new me, which means that being a business owner, you can work 12 and 13 hour days sometimes, and sometimes the work is never done. You have to be the accountant. You got to be the customer service representative. You got to be the sales rep. You got to be the maintenance. You got to be everything. You got to deliver. You got to deal with operations. You got to deal with so many other things. When you were just a W-2 employee, you were comfortable. Oh yeah, you go, you do your little job. You clock in at 8 o'clock, you leave at 5, you go to lunch for about an hour and all this good stuff here. You got benefits, all that good stuff. Okay, that is great. But when you step into ownership, it is a totally different mindset. And you cannot approach being a business owner with a W-2 mindset. It ain't going to last. So that's something that I had to myself learn. And it's taken me some time to learn that, to appreciate that, and to grow into that, because that was one of the biggest things. One of my biggest flaws is I kept a W-2 mindset while building my company. But the moment that I started to hear the roar of the lion, the moment that I started to understand and to operate as the business owner, this company went to the next level. This is what I mean by the new you deserves, the new wineskin deserves the new you. You have to let the old go, and you have to welcome in the newness. When you're learning discipline, the disciplined life that you're living right now, the new you, okay, that you, that what's baking in the oven right now deserves that new you and all the new disciplines that go along with you. It may mean some relationships have to be cut off. It may mean I can't go to some places. It may mean that I don't sit down and watch football all day on Sunday. And even if the Cowboys are playing, guess what? Hey, listen, let me tell you something. There are nearly 16, maybe 1,700 players in the NFL. And come Monday morning, there are going to be about 1,700 bank transactions to hit 17 different accounts. If none of those transactions don't say Jeremy or Vita Glenn, that ain't my focus. Okay? I can't spend all my time and all my efforts on something that's not part of the new me, the new discipline. Okay, I'm not saying not to watch. I'm just saying all my time and effort can't be centered around football. I can't give football that kind of power. Not the new me. The old me would sit down there and tell you every stat from every college game, every semi-pro game, and every NFL game. I'd know who this, who that, and everything else. Oh, I would have been real good in Vegas, y'all. Oh, I would have been real good in Vegas. But that was the old me. I had to learn to be the new me. I had to set aside some old things, and I have to welcome in the new me, because the new wineskin, but I can't get off that today, y'all. The new wineskin deserves the new me. And that's what discipline is going to do for us. All right. So as we talked about, we got to replace those old habits, welcome those old habits. And we have to have that mindset to welcome those new habits in our lives. And here's the deal in psychology here. That's called the replacement theory. If you used to think about things a certain way, now you got to replace that. You got to change the way you look at life. You have to change the way that you receive life. You have to change the way everything about you. You can't go out in public and be that same old you. That's why I say we have to respect the waiters and waitresses and people that work hard to serve us. And if we're working on discipline and being the best version that God needs for us to be in our lives, we can't treat people any old kind of way. Not the new us. Okay, when you become that Christian and you're really serious about taking that next step in your life, you can't cough up an attitude every time something don't go your way. You can't be ready to stomp, pitch, kick, you know, kick and you know, kind of grab a little attitude every time something don't go your way. You got to be bigger than that, That's why this is a process. And that's why we're working on our disciplines, because the new wineskin deserves the new you. Amen. That right there is a word. Somebody just got free. One thing I know is whenever God has really got me on something, that means that a chain is being broken. That means that somebody is being free. That means some cuffs are coming off. Somebody is literally being delivered with that word right now. The new you deserves, the new wineskin deserves the new you. Boy, I can build a series off that right there. The new wineskin, ladies and gentlemen, deserves the new you. Let me move along here, because I said I was going to finish this message here, and I thank y'all for your time here. Here's the next thing that I want to talk about as we put our next slide up on this morning. Here's what I want us to know. We have to make an effort, y'all, to replace the old ways, old thoughts, old habits with the new ways of God that line up with our purpose. That is what we'll welcome in discipline. We have to make the effort to replace old ways, old thoughts, and old habits with the new ways of God that line up with our purpose. That's what I want us to understand. The replacement theory, changing the way you look at things, Zoom, changing the way you see things, YouTube, changing the way you operate, changing your demeanor, making the effort to say, okay, I'm getting up with a purpose on my mind. I'm getting up with a plan on my mind. I'm not just getting up, just going through the day, la-da-da things and just getting up and floating. You can talk to somebody sometimes, say, how you doing? Oh, I'm making it. No, God wants us to do more than just make it. God wants us to be on purpose. God wants us to be intentional. God wants us to operate with discipline. God wants us to be tactical in our minds and what we do, and to take calculated risk and make calculated moves, and to be able to be calculated in our decisions, not just going through the motions. He talks about that. If you're the double-minded man, you're just being tossed about in the waves. No purpose, no plan, just going back and forth. That is not what God wants for us. His plans include prospering you, not harming you, giving you a future and a hope. He's given us the power within, Ephesians 3:20, to be able to do that. But we have to make ourselves available. And here's a last point as we're talking about the process of discipline, and we're about to wrap this up. And I want to thank y'all for hanging in there with us here. You're withstanding this message. It may not feel good. It may not be very popular, but it's for your good. It's going to be some benefits. God is about to elevate you in your life right now. I speak it prophetically in your life. He's about to take you to a whole nother level in your life right now in the name of Jesus. He's given you some tools. He's given you this message. He's given you this series, and he is ready for you to do some water walking things in this day, in this time, because he needs for his people to be strong. The devil ain't shy about what he's floating on these social media waves. The devil ain't shy about all the disruption and the distractions that he's putting into this world. God is saying, if my people, hallelujah, thank you, God, who are called by my name. In other words, if the back of my shirt has God on it. If I'm playing on God's team and I got God written on the back of my shirt. If my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves. Remember, he's telling us that in 2 Chronicles, right? Right? If you humble yourselves, turn away from all of that stuff. He says he can heal the land. He will hear your prayers. He will hear your cries. But he needs for us to have the power of discipline to turn away from the old us and to welcome in the new us. That is what God needs for us to do. That is why we have this series. Let's put our last point up right here. As you see it on the screen, point number 5. Here's what we got to do. Monitor and evaluate our progress. We have to monitor and evaluate our progress. The entire book of Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the creation of the heavens and the earth. And everything that God created, when he created that, God expressed his genuine gratitude from the work that he done by saying, it is good. The essential things that were laid for the foundations of our earth, when God created those things, when he completed each of these tasks, The Bible records that God saw it and that it was good. This means that God took nothing and made something out of nothing. And when the nothing was completed by being made into something, God took the time to evaluate his work and progress and saw, ladies and gentlemen, that it was in fact good. That is what we need to do when it comes to monitoring and evaluating our progress as we grow in the process of self-discipline. As we grow, we have to know that we were at point A, and we have to see that we've navigated to D, to E, to F, to G, all the way on down to Z. We got to know that we're growing. And you know something that does, that helps us to stay motivated. When you can see that progress is being made, it helps you to stay motivated. When you can see that progress is being gained, it helps you to want to keep your foot on the gas. Give yourself a little small window of an opportunity to grow in this process so that you can build from that momentum and continue to grow in the process of discipline. This is what I want us to know, and this is what I want us to understand. Because as we work to develop the process, ladies and gentlemen, of self-discipline, you got to measure where you started from to see where you have developed. You have to monitor your development so that you can know how you grow. You got to monitor your development so that you can know how you grow. They do it on your job. Y'all have evaluations every year, at least most of us, right? You have evaluations. You were like this in 2020. Now you're like this in 2021. Or this is what you did to grow. Maybe you read some books. Maybe you took on some new tasks. Maybe you took some courses or whatever that was. Because if you're striving for excellence, there has to be a point to measure from this point to that point. You have to take a self-evaluation and evaluate your progress. And when you do that, what you're going to do is this will help motivate you to continue to grow, as I stated. And the process of self-discipline will begin to operate into your life. And you will slowly, here's a key, you will slowly stop focusing on the pains of changing, and you will begin to focus more on the harvest that's in the oven. And the oven represents the process, ladies and gentlemen, of self-discipline. I want to read something to you here as I get ready to close our message. In the oven is where the next level awaits. In the oven is where that next business idea bakes. In the oven is where that next song is written. In the oven is where clear ideas and instructions are given. In the oven is where God's calling is revealed. And in the oven is where you know, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that Jesus is real. I'm going to put our final slide up here on today for our message. You won't focus on how hot the oven is when you focus on the harvest that it will produce. You won't focus on how hot the oven is when you focus on the harvest that it will produce. As I close, the process of self-discipline will produce that harvest that's been baking in the oven of success. And when you welcome it, when you accept it, and when you operate in this process, you will begin to see and experience God's best through your best. You're going to be able to see God's best through your best. And as we accept the process of self-discipline, we want to first make sure that we accept God first in our lives. Somebody was blessed by this message on today. Somebody strayed away and they thought that whatever they did was so bad that God would never forgive them. I'm here to diffuse that lie and turn that around. There is nothing that God can't love you through. There is nothing that God can't do through you. There is no situation that's too big for God to handle. And there is nothing that you can do that will separate you from the love of God. I want to give you this time right now, as we get ready to close again. I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God. If you would love to give your life to Him on this morning, maybe this process of self-discipline, it spoke to you. And what good does it do for us to give messages here and there is nobody that's being led to Christ? That's what the Great Commission is all about. That's what we are assigned to do. That's why I say, tell people about these messages, y'all. That's why I say, like this page, share this page, allow God to use you, because you never know who can come running back to the Father. You never know who the prodigal son or who the prodigal daughter was that's running back to the Father, and how you were used as an instrument to bring them back. You get your commission by being in position. You get your commission by being in position and by being used by God. But for that person out there right now, I just want to pray with you, Heavenly Father, Lord, they're coming back to you, Father God. Yes, they strayed away. Yes, distractions got them. Lord, they really got them. But your heart is so big and your love is so potent. Your love is so real that, Lord, we can't out-sin your love. We cannot out-sin your love. We can't out-party your love. We can't out-drug abuse your love. We can't out-prostitute your love. Lord, your heart is bigger than anything that we can do. And we thank you for it, Lord. Somebody thought that whatever they were going through in their life, whatever life they were living, it was too much, and that there was no way you would forgive them. I come to diffuse that lie right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let them know that your heart is waiting on them. You received them back into your kingdom, Father God. And Lord, I'm going to walk them through the process of salvation right now. And I want you to just tug their heart and their spirit and let them know that you got them, Lord. You got them. You're not leaving them. Because you said you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And we thank you in the name of Jesus, because we can't out-sin your love. For that person right now, I want you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Lord, I've strayed away, but I'm back. Not only that I'm back and I want to be used. Use me for your purpose. Use me for your glory. Cleanse me, Lord, of evil thoughts. Cleanse me, Lord, of evil desires. Cleanse me, Lord, and bring me back to you. I want to be used. Lord, give me instructions. Give me my purpose. Give me my plan. And give me the process of discipline. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I believe that you died, that you rose on the third day with all the power and with all the glory. And I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer, you believe it with your whole heart. Right now, this very moment at 10:15 a.m. Central Standard Time on November 19th, I want to welcome you back into the kingdom. You're a part of a team that never loses, and I'm welcoming you. I'm clapping virtually to you on radio to you right now. Welcome you into the kingdom of God, where you're going to now experience life at a whole nother level. Allow this new wineskin to embrace the new you. Don't go back. You come too far. This word was too potent. There's no reason to go back. Allow what the new wineskin can help welcome you in. Allow what the new wineskin can help welcome you in, and allow that to now build, gain traction, and now allow God to now operate in your life like never before. If you want a coach, you want a mentor, you want somebody that's going to be right there with you, okay, reach out to me. Reach out to us, okay? reach out to us, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. As you see it right there, if you've given your life to Him, you want to stay committed, you want to just talk about some things, get some things off your chest, whatever that is, reach out to us here, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. And then we've got some information that we can send you on joining this ministry here. We'd love to hear from you. We thank God for you. We thank God for everything. And we just speak nothing but just wonderful, bountiful blessings in your life. And now, right now, you know this message has been a blessing to you. Ain't no denying. If you're still on this message right now after an hour and 22 minutes worth of watching or whatever it is, listening, whatever it is, you owe God a seed. You owe God a seed. That's all that's to it. You don't get word like this and just click off and move on. No, I am summoning you right now. I may be outside the box, and listen here, I don't care about no boxes. I care about the kingdom. Right now, I am summoning you to give into this ministry. We got three ways to give into this ministry here. Listen here, we're not going to pimp the gospel. Yeah, I said it. We ain't going to pimp the gospel. You're not going to get all this good word and move on. No, you're going to tell God, thank you. Because this word was life-changing for you. You got 5 steps on operating in the process of discipline that's going to help you go off and become great. God is going to be able to use you effectively in His kingdom, and you are obligated to telling God that, Lord, I'm going to sow into this. This is good ground. This is good word. I don't care if it's $5, $2, $3, $10, or whatever. I am summoning you. I am summoning you to give into this ministry. You have to tell God thank you. You don't get word like this and not tell God thank you. Right now, giving is service. As you see, we got 3 ways to give in this ministry. Giving is service. Now you have a chance to give. You can give to us on Givelify. If you're looking on YouTube or on Facebook, there's a QR code there. You scan it. It'll take you right directly to our Givelify page. You see, we've got the Zelle option. You can pull up Zelle, pull us up info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Give to us through Zelle. And then if you're old school and want to send to our P.O. box in the great city of Arlington, Texas, you can do that. You see that option right there, P.O. box 180972. Arlington, Texas. Make those checks out the Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. But I will tell you, if that check bounces, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you now. So let's do it the good, safe ways. Let's go to Givelify. Let's go to Zelle. All right. Let's do it there. Let's do it. It's safe. It's secure. You don't have to worry about it. We pray over every seed that comes in this church. And I just want to thank, one day I'm just going to publicly just announce those that have been given. I'm just going to publicly thank you in front of the world just to let you know you've been contributing to this wonderful ministry. And you part of early beginnings right here. That God is nowhere close to being done with this ministry. We're just breaking ground. This is going to be a dynamic ministry, and you want to be a part of this, even just by giving, just telling God thank you. We thank you for that. Right now, let's pray over every seed. Lord, thank you for every seed, every tithe, every offering, every love token, okay, that's coming into this ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray over it. We speak 100-fold return on that seed right now, Lord. I thank you for opening doors that were shut. I thank you for deliverance that's coming from those seeds. I thank you for changed hearts that are coming from those seeds. I thank you, Lord Jesus, because eyes haven't seen nor have ears heard of the wonderful things that you have for those that love you, Lord. And I thank you for everyone that's believing in this ministry, for everyone that's believing in this word, believing in our series, that's diligent, Lord, that's diligent with everything that they do, Lord. Let them smell what the discipline is cooking in the oven in their life. And we thank you for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we close on today, thank you for an awesome word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you because the word of God, it lives through us, it speaks to us, and it meets us wherever we are. And we thank you for all that you're doing in the mighty name of Jesus. Give us your traveling grace. Protect us from danger, seen and unseen. Bring us back here next week, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we thank you for all that you're doing right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help us to have a wonderful day, to be effective as we build your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, we love you and we thank you. Amen. Y'all have a fantastic Sunday. My cup is empty. I have poured it all out, left it all out on the field. And I want to welcome you to come back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. We're still in our series, The Power of Discipline. We got to talk about some benefits. We got to talk about some different things here. We got probably about another couple, 2, maybe 3 weeks left. And we got some things here that are going to, you ain't never heard nothing like this before. Come back here. We want to continue to allow you to grow in the soil as we cultivate the believer in you. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn, thanking you for spending a small segment of your Sunday with us. We'll see you next week. Y'all have a great, fantastic week. We love you. Take care. We love y'all. Have a good one.